First is, I like a martini. Two at the most. Three, I'm under the table. Four, I'm under my host.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Under My Host. I'm Corey. With me is producer Matt. Our guest today, oh my gosh, I just called. I don't even cut it out. Producer Matt is no longer with us. Producer Tyler. The Kimmicks don't know it that Matt's no longer with us, but there was another producer. I'm so sorry, Tyler.
That's okay.
It's just out of habit. And then our guests today are Jen and John Kimmick you're in Hardwick, Vermont. And you're the Alchemist, and nobody doesn't know the Alchemist. It's Hetty Topper. I almost wanted to say Hetty Topper first, but it is the Alchemist. And they make one beer. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is very good.
So, hi, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so now that we're going, I'm so sorry, Tyler.
No, it's okay.
So for almost a year, I had another producer, and Tyler's been on for the past couple weeks, and, you know, it just comes rolling out. It's like marrying or dating somebody after you've been with somebody for a really long time. It's bound to happen. Anyway, so how are you guys doing?
Calling your new boyfriend your old boyfriend.
Exactly. right. You're not offended, right?
No, not at all.
So unfortunately, Jen has broken collarbone, but I'm so glad that you were able to join us. And John, I'm so glad you're able to join us. You guys are so busy and you don't really need to talk to us because you can't keep your beer in stock. But I definitely wanted people to know about you. I don't think unless you're able to get to Vermont, to Hardwick, Vermont, if anybody knows where that is, it's I don't think it's 3 miles outside of Boston, but that's the only way you're going to get their beer now, but maybe we'll find out if there's an opportunity down the road for us to get their beer. Maybe. Possibly.
Hopefully.
No. You know, a lot of people ask us that, and to be completely honest, I would say the outlook is pretty bleak for anybody that doesn't live within 20 miles of the Alchemist.
And you know what? I think that's great. We're all about promoting small production, and it, and big is not necessarily better. And it seems like if you can control what you're producing by keeping it small, then that's what you have to do. But from the stuff that Jen sent me, you guys are doing 600 times more now than when you started in 2011, right? Your production.
We are producing 600% more now than we did when we opened our production brewery 2 years ago. So right now we're making 180 barrels a week of Hetty Topper, which comes out to about 9,000 barrels a year. When we first opened, we were doing 1,500 barrels a year. So that comes out to about 1,800 cases a week.
And are you guys getting tired of making Hetty Topper yet? I must be so...
Not at all.
For people that don't know, the Kimmicks had a pub. So prior to opening the production brewery, they had, I think, was it for 10 years or so, 8 years, you guys were brewing in your pub. Then Hurricane Irene hit, and they were actually in the process of, or actually they had already built the production brewery, had just started, I guess you were just fermenting your beer before it went into the cans. The storm hit and destroyed their pub. So
We opened up our brew pub in Waterbury Village in 2003, and it was a 60-seat pub, and John did all of the brewing for 8 years in the basement brewery. And then about 8 months before the flood ruined, devastated our pub, we started building out our production brewery. The night before our first cans rolled off the line, that's when we lost our pub. But the production brewery is very close to where our pub was. It's just about a mile from the old pub in Waterbury. So we're still located in the same town. We just don't have the pub anymore.
But you had what I love was that they were really, really concerned about the employees that had worked there. They were trying to get somebody to take over the pub. And unfortunately, I think nothing in their basement was covered. So everything, their whole, the facility downstairs and... I don't know what that is. Maybe children or puppies.
That's a dog.
Oh. Sorry. Furry children.
I'm going to go on mute for a second so Jen will continue. I'll be right back.
He doesn't like us not paying attention.
He can get on. I don't have a problem with that. Trust me, I've had guests that were probably far less interesting than your dog. But the everything, so you guys lost everything, Jen, right? So like what your office, your equipment, everything was completely ruined. And then your insurance didn't cover what was in the basement. Like that's incredible. I mean, I guess that wasn't a loss you were expecting, but I guess fortunately you had the other stuff was up and ready to go that you could still continue your business. Or I don't know how you...
It was totally unexpected. You know, there was a flood in the village of Waterbury in the early 1900s, but no one ever thought the flood was coming again. However, our building was in a flood zone, so we were required to have flood insurance, so we did carry flood insurance on the building. And the problem was the lifeblood of our business was in the basement.
Right.
Oh, no. Our entire brewery, the finished beer, walk-in coolers, office, everything, recipes, dry goods, all the food, everything was in our basement. So when the flood came, initially we thought, well, at least we have flood insurance. Well, right. What we didn't know is that the contents in our basement weren't covered by insurance, even though we were paying for contents insurance.
That's
all
right.
The
thing that would actually be affected by an actual flood was not covered, which I grew up in Miami. Like, this is not, like, so unfortunately, it's just not that. I'm not really sure what flood insurance is for, but
right.
It's right.
They're going to need flood insurance in Miami before you know it.
No kidding, right? Oh yeah, everything's sinking.
Yeah,
we're so high
too. So
yeah, it's bleh. So now, and I wanted to say that did you guys know the guys at Caledonia Spirits at all?
I've seen. It's funny because we have a stack of brochures from Caledonia Spirits in our office. At the brewery. We've never visited, but that's out in Hardwick, right?
Yes, yes. Well, because it was funny, because one of the questions I had submitted was from them, and I thought, is like their friend just trying to send a message over? But it's actually the person who handles their branding in D.C. So, and this is kind of early on in the show, but just so that I don't forget, the question from the Caledonia Spirits person was, I have Alchemist Hetty in the fridge I want to save for guests. Max time frame to keep flavor of the hops is not lost. That's the way the question was posed. So I guess, how long can you keep? Now, when I saw the video, apparently it's years. But what's like, I mean, it was really important for us to have this at, like, right after it was produced. So is that when you would love to see people drink your beer within days of canning? Since you guys sell out, it's gone anyway. So I would imagine...
And we package it very young.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, we were just having that conversation the other night. And, you know, 10, 15 years ago, people would have been drinking IPAs and they were releasing it, and everybody would have told you it was green and too young and it needed more time, you know. And so it's funny how people's tastes have changed in just a decade. But the reality of it is it's entirely up to the customer. You know, personally, I mean, I know that beer inside and out, and I don't care for it the day it goes in the can.
Yeah.
I think it has to be in the can at least a couple of days before it really has a chance to begin to open up and come into its own. So when people ask how long can they keep it, I mean, gosh, if it's never gone unrefrigerated, really, just like you mentioned in that video, you could age it for years. It's an 8% beer, and it could stand up to aging, but being unpasteurized and unfiltered, it will be dramatically different. It's a living creature, and it'll change with time. If your goal is to get maximum fresh hoppiness and that aggressive character, then the younger, the better, for sure.
Well, and I guess when asking you about whether you guys would be available, you know, I don't know what your reach will eventually be or if you'll just stay within the state or several states over. I guess if it has to be refrigerated and temperature is a major concern, I guess maybe you would worry about transporting it, whether it's going to be handled the way you want it to be handled and I mean, I can't imagine sending it to Florida just in...
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that all just comes back to our basic business philosophy, which is lifestyle over everything.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, especially when you have kids, you realize how quick life flies by and how easy it would be to work your life away.
Well, right.
Forever chasing some made-up goal, you know, or to conquer the United States with your beer when all we really want is to make a nice life for us and our employees.
Well, and you are doing the brewing, right? You're still, you are the master brewer or the brewmaster over at the Alchemist?
Oh, I am the head brewer, but gosh, no, I'm not the guy shoveling the mash every day anymore. I've been doing that for 20 years. I don't need to be
She's
doing
laughing.
That anymore.
That's how she broke her collarbone. I knew that I was going to I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just last month I was brewing full time. So when it's necessary, sure, I jump back in. It's fun to do, but like I said, I've been doing it a long time, and I've worked long and hard to deserve the luxury of being able to have other people do my grunt work for me.
Right. Well, and it's really physical.
Oh, gosh, I'm in there every day. I'm intimately involved with the process. I know, there's not a decision gets made without going past my desk. So.
Now, what about you, Jen? Are you a brewer? Were you into brewing at all, or was this something that you got into to be able to work together with your husband?
I'm not a brewer, but I've been working in breweries for over 20 years as well. I met John at the Vermont Pub and Brewery back in, 1995.
And I did read that story. He asked her out, she turned him down.
Oh.
But then she asked him out.
She's been a brewer's brewer for almost 20 years.
That's right. That's my title, brewer's brewer. But, I'm very familiar with the brewing process. I'm in the brewery, well-versed on beer, but I don't do the physical brewing.
Yeah,
there's enough work behind the scenes that needs done. I'm more involved in, I was involved in more of the restaurant planning, financial planning, business planning. But I just want to go back to the beer production, and I want to say, we're brewing 9,000 barrels a year, and... our commitment from the beginning was always to make the best quality beer we could using the best hops, making sure that the beer is kept cold all the time in perfect condition, and that's what we're doing. If we were to jump up to 80,000 barrels a year or 150,000 barrels a year, it wouldn't be possible.
Right.
Because what we do is so unique. We own our own distribution company. So the day the beer is canned, it goes on our own refrigerated truck. Our driver brings it into a retail store, makes sure it's put right into refrigeration, and it's sold that week. If we had a large footprint, distribution footprint, it just wouldn't be that fresh and that young.
Right.
I can think of a few world-class IPAs that are great, but I've bought them on the East Coast when they come from California. By the time you get them, they're just not that great. It's not that the beer isn't great. It's that, it's sat on a truck or a warehouse for a month. And, that's just not how we ever want our beer to be.
Well, and we actually will be talking to him either the end of the year. Well, probably now, the way that we're booked, probably not till next year. But, Vinny at Russian River stopped doing the Pliny the Younger, it's like I wonder if that had something to do with it. I mean, not that I want to compare you, but you guys, I think, are like the two as far as like, the best examples of like the most love, hoppy IPAs. I can't imagine anybody. I don't even think they're doing growlers anymore when they release the Younger. Are they? Does anybody know? I don't know.
I think when they release Younger, that goes to very select accounts, and it's a very tricky thing for them. And, what they've created there, they experience a lot of what we experience with, people just people are just crazy about it, and they can't get enough of it, and they'll actually start to fault you for it.
Well,
and it's like, we're small, just like Vinny, we're a small family owner-operator kind of business, and I think people lose sight of that. They expect you to be, if you have a beer in a can on a shelf, they equate you with big breweries, and they get upset that they can't get it.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong. Like, if, I mean, everybody has an idea of how they want to run their business. And if you want to control, and their situation is very similar. It's a husband and wife team. And I'm sure, of course, like, we'll talk. And I don't want to get off onto another brewery, but I do think there's a real similar philosophy with why, you know, I think for sometimes the consumers will think it's a demand that you're creating, which, yes, you think it's like totally genius, except, you know, it's not, it's, there's not like a marketing ploy behind it. It's just, that's how you want to run your business.
It's just reality.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I always laugh because we don't have a marketing team. You know, there's a few of us in the office, you know, we do little things, we don't advertise, and we just have this really great beer that people can't find. A fresh, unfiltered IPA packed full of so many premium hops, so people love it. And, you know, we just hear crazy things. I read one crazy comment on a forum, that, you know, a user website online, and someone said, we were doing this on purpose. We were tricking people into coming to our brewery to buy all the beer.
Yeah, and that's what Vermont, just that's what, like, the people of Waterbury,
we're tricking
Vermont
people into
want.
Buying our beer. Yeah.
Well, that, they, how dare us. They must not have really thought about it, because if you can sell everything that you make within 20 miles of where you are, why would you sell it anywhere else?
Well, you know, the other thing,
exactly.
Right.
Well, people speaking without thinking is no rare occurrence, I don't think.
But I do think there's people that love craft beer and they just like enjoy drinking it. And I think there's people that definitely get like, it's, you know, like I always say, like it's like an entire movement. And I don't know if you guys have seen it yet. And I'm totally going to plug him in the show. If you haven't seen Crafting a Nation, Tom Colicchio just released this documentary that's about craft beer. And I guess like the tagline is, something like rebuilding the American economy one beer at a time. And it's a whole culture. And I think when you understand that, it's like any business, some are big, some are small. What they want to do is entirely up to them. I saw another funny, like some video where they were doing a blind tasting, which is always funny, you know, everybody's an expert, but some guy was like, and it's genius, their marketing and the can. And but it was just really funny. And I think like somebody commented, and I don't know if they're from your area or not, and like, what marketing? You know, like what are you talking about? Like, there's no, like, yeah, because he was like comparing you guys literally, I think, to Budweiser, not the beer, but just like how brilliant, what, you know, however,
right.
Exactly. Whatever.
Yeah, it is, like
you're genius.
We're scheming and planning out our domination of the world. Yeah.
Yeah. We had the artwork for Hetty Topper from the pub, but John and I literally sat on the living room floor one night for an hour and laid out the can design, and John wrote the little blurb on the back of the can, and that was it.
Well, and it was really funny because they did say when I saw a video that John had done that, you know, because on the can, it clearly states, drink from the can, drink from the can, drink from the can. And that it's because they, at the pub, it was served out of a pint glass. So they just, it was already drawn, so it was already on there. And I have to say, I knew I was going to love you guys when I started reading the can to Tyler. And I was like, don't be a D-bag, recycle this can.
Yeah, that's pretty
I
awesome.
Love them.
Yeah, that's, gotta go.
It's funny how, well, yeah, Jen wouldn't let me put douchebag on the can, so we had to shorten it.
I call everybody a DB. It's just like it's kind of like my curse word. Yeah, but I thought that was awesome.
Well,
yeah, don't write douche on our beer. Come on now.
The whole idea behind that is simple. It's like, you know, so many people, you know, see please recycle written on everything, and yet there's still trash on the side of the road.
Yeah, don't be a douchebag, recycle the can.
Some people need that little bit of intimidation or that little slap in the head to just let them know, you know, and how many people, because of that, you know, I've never seen Hetty Topper cans laying anywhere.
Well, you know what's really great? I mean, all the places that really have taken, I mean, now canning is becoming so much more common because there's the logic, like there's, it's not, it, people I think used to view it a particular way. Like, of course, from the macro producers with the cans, I mean, not understanding that it's just a better product. Well, you know, like you've not been on too long, but it's because you're not exposing it to light and you're not, you know, there's not as much air in the, from the can, the top of the can. So the beer is just fresher. But everybody that really took to canning initially were people that were in very, outdoorsy kind of environmentally friendly communities. You know, Colorado was really big, Vermont. And you guys have so much cool alcohol production going on up there. I mean, that you know that they're like right down the road from Ben and Jerry's. Like, you would be 1,000 pounds. Can you imagine living in water between like Caledonia Spirits, Ben and Jerry's, the Alchemist?
Well, you can ski all the time though. So I mean,
yes,
like that in would. beautiful mountains.
Oh yeah.
But you guys have. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess. Talk to people from on the website. I mean, it is hard. Like, we can talk about so much. Oh, and I did want to say, I love that. I think you said there's like six, it's a proprietary blend of 6 hops. Do the men come in there, John, driving you crazy trying to figure out what hops they are?
the world of people that are into stuff like that, it's shocking sometimes. Uh-huh. I mean, people flat out try to
they go through your
manipulate
trash.
Us.
Trying to find your bags.
Yeah, start looking through our dumpsters. But no, I have people, and it's come back to me, and it's always disappointing, but guys that will email me under the guise of being a homebrewer that's interested, you know, and so they'll ask.
I want to do a clone.
I get flat out questions. Could you give me the recipe for Hetty Popper, you know, and I mean, I always just kind of chuckle to myself like
it's
that.
The it's the only beer like, I make. You no. Got, yeah.
Well, even if it wasn't, you gotta be kidding me. You know, it's just kind of ballsy to ask something like that. But it's I've then come to find out that these guys are mining me for information, and they actually have businesses.
That's not.
And
cool.
they're basing their businesses off of what I do. And the information that I give them, you know, and you know, I actually get flack from some of these guys, and they say, oh, well, he's kind of deceptive. He won't tell you what his recipe is. And it's like, well.
And really, what other business could you call or write somebody up and ask them for, like, their formula?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are people that put out clones. I think people that put out clones either are not putting out, and maybe they are. I know the Ska guy said that they put out their stuff, but. They know that, I think most of the time it's when they know you're not going to get the same yeast that they use, or I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine getting upset about it, but.
Well, yeah, when they ask me that, and there are the people that take offense at it, you know, I do get upset about it because I never refuse advice.
Yeah.
I will give you solid brewing advice. But I'm not going to teach you a recipe, just like nobody taught me a recipe.
Right.
I was taught the right way to do it, and then it's up to you and your artistic creativity to come up with a great beer.
I already know the show description. Don't be a douchebag. Uh-huh. Don't write John Kimmick and ask him for his recipe.
You should tell people who call in and ask, or who send you emails and ask you for your straight up recipe, be like, keep on me and come interview and come work for me and maybe you'll get to learn something, but I'm not just going to hand this to you. Like.
No, yeah. I don't know if he wants to open that door.
I would gladly give them all the advice that I can on how to make a solid beer, you know? And
I'm really disappointed.
It's a bummer when you find out stuff like that.
Yeah, because mostly, you know, the people that we have on are making top products. So they're not trying to imitate anybody else. They're doing their own thing, and that's really what we love about them. I don't know who these people are that are doing that, but it's really disappointing to think. I mean, what I love the most about craft beer is the camaraderie and the support that brewers give one another, and that doesn't fit with.
It's one thing if you're home making this in your kitchen, you know, it's like, of course, knock yourself out. But as soon as it goes to the point where you're making a living off of something like that, it's a little offensive, but whatever, you know, it's like we just stay focused on our art and we just do what we do, you know, and we don't have to worry about people like that because we're confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do. So we just keep at it.
Well, and I wanted to say we were doing a show. I don't know if you met him because I know that he had your beer. So it's possible that you did meet Spike Bukowski from Terrapin. Did you meet Spike or? So he knew.
I don't think I've ever met him.
No. Okay. So we were at the brewery talking about you know, like he got a lot of slack for giving this advice, you know, like if you're going to launch, you know, a brand, don't come out. You need to come up with something other than an IPA. And I'm only saying this because I said, except that I have somebody coming on who is only doing, and he knew exactly who I was talking about. And he said that you guys are making a phenomenal beer. I mean, which is really funny because his advice to everybody else is don't come out with this. But he's like, but they're doing it and they're doing it so well. And I think, you know, coming from another brewer, I mean, you know, everybody's styles are different. And I don't know if you're Terrapin fans or not, but I thought that was such a cool thing that, I thought maybe he had gone up to the brewery that you guys had met one another, but he's definitely a fan of your beer. So.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, we just don't get Terrapin up here, you know?
Yeah, no. And they're the same, you know, they're only like in, they're only in a few states. They're the same. Their footprint. Well, they're like in five, maybe they're in more states, you know, and he does a lot of collaborations. And that was going to be my next question to you. Have you collaborated with anybody or would you be open to collaborating? Obviously you only do Heady Topper, but would you go to another brewery and work with somebody to do like a one-off?
I've done a couple, you know, the first one that I ever did was with Stone, and that was in response to the flood.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, after that flood, Mitch Steele, the head brewer, emailed us and said, gosh, let us know if there's anything we can do. And we half jokingly said, how about we fly out there and make a batch of beer together? And he said, yeah, let me talk to the boss. And 2 days later, he said, let's do it. So
that's cool.
That was the first time I'd ever done something like that. And it was fun. It was a ton of fun. And I've done just a handful since then, just with good friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a big collaboration kind of guy. I would much rather just go and visit a brewery and drink beers with a guy than like go and work.
Go and brew.
For a day, stuff like that, you know. It kind of takes a lot of the fun out of it. When, what both of us, all we really want to do is sit around and shoot the shit and drink beer. So,
which is what we do.
I prefer to do drinking collaboration more than anything.
Well, okay. So on your website, so when you had the pub, I think it said you were doing like 60 beers, or you had like any brewer, you were doing lots of different styles, Belgians, all different kinds of ales. So, you guys kind of have like a bit of a tease on the website that, you know, this was, you know, they have kind of like a listing where there's like an index of beers that they did brew, that it's a possibility that you might be brewing other beers in the future, or?
Oh, sure. I'll start pulling out some stuff I used to do at the pub, but, you know.
But you,
it's just, I serve other beers
there. You just don't can them, right?
No, we just do Heady Topper now.
Okay.
We will, you know, eventually I'm going to start doing some of my other beers, but we're taking our time. You know, there's no rush. We've been doing this a long time, and we just want to take our time and do each step right. So when it happens, it'll happen. But that's just going to create a whole another world
I saw a comment where Jen was like, if we can't already meet the demand with one brand, like how would we really, because I'm sure people, I mean, I know people are going to want to know, like, are you going to do something else? I mean, I'm not pushing you to do anything else. I think if you can do one thing and you could do one thing really, really well, I think that's fantastic. I mean,
and we get it all the time. People say, when are you going to have another flavor in the can?
Yeah.
When is Ouroboros going to come out? But the fact of the matter is, this wasn't by design. We thought at this point we would have two labels in a can, but when we're running out each week and people are complaining we don't have enough, it just doesn't make sense for us to cut back our Heady Topper production and make something else. So we're kind of just rolling with it right now and doing what makes sense.
Yeah.
And when the day comes where we can possibly put another beer in a can, I think we would. But, you know, I think we're open to anything at this point.
When you guys brew every week, how long does it take you? I mean, of course, there's not like a one number, but how soon do you tend to run out? Like, what is the average? Are you guys selling out within days or?
Right now, we have three brewers. They brew 4 days a week, so we do 12 brews a week. We have three brews Monday through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We have a total of 180 barrels a week we produce. We which comes out to 1,800 cases a week. On Labor Day this year, it was our busiest day ever. We actually ran our canning line on Sunday so that we had 600 cases to sell on Monday. With a one-case limit in our tasting room, we sold all 600 cases in 2 hours.
Oh, my.
We had a sold out until the next day. That's been the theme for us.
So then you get a bunch of angry people at the end of the line, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You need to make more. You need to do this. You need to do that. And it's like, boy, we just increased production at this point. At this point, we couldn't make more if we wanted to. I mean, the hops, I think people underestimate.
Do you have to go into a bigger facility?
No, we wouldn't have to go into a bigger facility, but we would need more hops. We're contracted through 2014 with the amount of hops we have.
Yeah. And I don't know if people understand that, how you have to buy. It's like buying futures when you buy hops. And if they've
got,
if they're, well, and you know, they're only doing, if he's got this one blend that he does and he's looking for a consistent product, he's not trying to brew six different beers and have, you know, a beer change from season to season. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be really tough. So you have to, and then, right. So you buy based on what you think you're going to be producing next year. And that's what you're stuck with what you've bought until you can purchase the following year.
Yeah, for us, it's not what we think we're going to be brewing. It's what we know we're going to be brewing because we only have the one label. So it's very set. We know we will make 180 barrels a year, a week for the next 52 weeks. It's pretty set.
Yeah.
Which is nice for planning, but we're not going to be able to get more.
But with that said, you know, I mean, the idea of having the one label, and of course that was, we opened this cannery with the idea that we were still going to have a pub working in unison with this place. And so that would just be our packaged beer, and I would still be making all these other beers at the pub. But the other side of that is, you know, when a brewery is opening up and they're offering six different labels, that's a brewer trying to make a name for himself and get himself out there and get himself known for all these different beers. And we did that at the pub for 8 years, you know, so we built our reputation. There's nothing for us to prove. You know, we've proved it all, and now we're just doing what we do, you know? So to go out and try to put out multiple labels, really, it would just kind of be like an ego thing. Like,
doing
you're trying
for,
to
right.
tell everybody, oh, see, I can make this beer great, too. You know, it's not just double IPA. I'll make a great whatever. But we don't have to prove that, you know. I mean, we've already done it, and so we want to keep that side of things fun. Where Heady Topper is a constant production, I want those other beers to just really be spontaneous and fun, and what I want to make, not what I have to make.
We're not making Heady Topper either because it's a market trend, and because it's what we love.
Well, that's what I wanted people to know. It's like, that's all of all the things that John had been brewing. They had said that you know, doing IPAs were really his, that's really what his favorite thing, his favorite beer is. But also, you know, I want everybody to know that you guys, you know, based on Beer Advocate, are rated number one beer in the world. You guys are 100 out of 100. And on Rate Beer, we do a lot of stuff with Joe. You're 100 overall, 100 style. I mean, all of this stuff is, it's an aggregate of people that have tasted their beer. So they haven't created this frenzy and this phenomenon. It's like, I think like you guys were probably just brewing beer and somebody stumbled on you. And I'm sure it's like the same with Sean Hill. It's like, I you know, I get the impression that he would rather talk to nobody. and it's like, you know, it's so great that people fall in love with your product, but sometimes it's just so overwhelming. And then you do get this backlash of people thinking that this is something that you're doing on purpose rather than, look, we have kids, we want to pay our mortgage, we want to go on vacation once a year. I mean, we don't want to do more than we want to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. What I do want people to know, and you may not, you're not going to know this because this kind of stuff is maybe newer for you, but there's 120 IBUs in here, which is, it's the bitterness, which is extremely high, but you don't get that.
It's funny that number floats out there. That is that number is repeatedly
is that
talked
wrong?
About by people.
It's right though.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay.
Totally
well, right. No. You almost.
No, that number is what is written on Beer Advocate, and that got taken off of a, that descriptor on Beer Advocate got taken off like one of the very first beer menus that had ever existed on at the Pub and Brewery, probably in 2004. And it's just never been updated. And that number was a calculated
right.
number, not a real number. So, you know, since then we've had Heady Topper analyzed for exact IBUs, and it's a 75 IBU beer.
Oh, okay, there we go, 75. Well, maybe that's why it doesn't taste like
reality.
But it's, but no, I mean, but 70, but 75 is still really high, but it's really, really balanced. You know, when something that high, that's when people tend to refer to it as a palate wrecker or something that's like, and it's not like that unpleasant piney. It's real balanced. You have like the fruit and you have some of the floral. I mean, that's what's really nice about it, because I have to say it's something that Matt and I would be, I had to grow to love more hoppy beers. I was definitely more malty Belgians, and this is really nice.
Yeah, it is
and it's
good.
Dangerous because this is gone really almost, and it's 8%. It goes down so easily. Are you okay, Tyler?
Oh, yeah,
got the burps? Got the burps?
Yeah, just to let everybody know, whenever she said that you don't know, talking about the IBU, she was talking about me.
Oh, you. Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure.
She's looking at me and talking to me. So
I'm pretty sure they know that I'm not talking to the Chemex.
Just in case.
But no, I mean, it's so quaffable. I think it's probably a little bit dangerous. But I mean, is there anything that people that, you know, are there any misconceptions about you guys, the brewery, that you want people to know? And people were very, very excited. I was really surprised. Actually, we were supposed to have another guy sitting in with us. He's the other producer that does the show, and he and his kid were both sick. So I was like, we'll see you next week. I don't want to be around you. So I was trying to get somebody on, but it was really too last minute. So I know that there were a lot of questions that people would want to ask you. But is there anything, like, I know you had that video that's the most, you get things that are asked over and over again, but people are so curious about your product. So many people want to try it. Unfortunately, they will probably never have the opportunity unless they can get their butts up to Vermont.
It's a nice vacation spot.
It is a nice vacation spot. And you know, before I let you get off of here, we're going to make sure that we can get an invite.
But, you know, it's like that's what I love about it so much, because Jen and I are both huge foodies. Mm-hmm. And we have favorite restaurants that we've been to around the country and stuff like that. And that's what's so great. I know that I'm only going to get that food when I go there.
Right.
And I look forward to it. And it's something you can talk about, boy, and you get to do it every once in a while. You get your fix, and that's it. You shouldn't have it every day necessarily.
Right.
You know, if you live in that town, then you're one of the lucky ones. You get to go to that restaurant once a month or once a week.
Well, we're
certainly not going to get upset that there isn't a branch of that restaurant in my hometown.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, with globalization and we are all about convenience, people, we're just the most impatient people ever. I mean, it's really funny because you'll get people that will come over from Europe to try all this stuff. Like, they know they're not going to get it. So it's just a matter of, like, being excited when they do get to try something. In the States, we're like, why can't I? First of all, like, even if you want to, half the time the people that we have on the show, whether they're a micro or even a nano brewer, between the laws and the expenses involved, it's just not feasible for everybody to get their product everywhere. So if you want to try it that badly, get in a plane, get in your car, and go
plus
to Vermont.
Like, this time of year would be a perfect time to go. Also.
To see the change of the leaves, yeah. I mean, for sure.
Or make friends, you know?
Make friends, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know.
You get them to hook you up. But that's what's so special. I mean, you know, 40 years ago when you couldn't get Coors east of the Mississippi, I mean, they made a movie about it, you know?
And, we long for the days.
And that was Coors, for God's sake. That was nothing to write home about.
Now, what
but
you,
it's special.
What, when you're
you
not drinking your
movie maker? Rieger somewhere.
When you're not drinking Heady Topper, what beers right now are you a big fan of?
When I'm not drinking Heady, I drink a lot of just cheap light beer.
Just a light lager?
Iron City, Pabst, stuff like that. I love drinking stuff like that. I thoroughly enjoy a good sour beer. But then again, you know, a lot of times that's hard to find as well.
Have you gone up to Hill Farmstead?
Oh, Sean's a friend of ours, sure. Okay. I love Sean's IPAs. He makes wonderful saisons. Sean Lawson makes Dynamite IPAs. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
what
I mean,
Harpoon?
My favorite sours are coming out of San Diego and, you know, what Tommy Arthur's doing and what Vinny's doing at Russian River and what they're doing at Cascade Brewing.
If you can get your hands on, oh my gosh, I'm totally forgetting. They're in Texas. Jester King.
Jester King.
If you can get any of Ron's sours, they're pretty fantastic.
Yep, I've had some Jester King beers. And, you know, but I certainly don't get upset when I only get one a year. You know,
right. It's like, oh, are you not calling them bitching and moaning?
Well, yeah. No,
you don't go standing around and get angry.
And I enjoy that one that I got, you know?
I think it's something that we feel so lucky, you know, it was just, you know, one of our previous guests had written something really nice. I don't know if you saw the thing that Jackie, and I mean, we are very lucky. I mean, I'm not, and I do want to thank you guys. I mean, we do get to try things that not everybody gets to try and tell people about it. But I would take a trip to Vermont to drink this beer otherwise. But I do think that, but you are absolutely right. We do get a chance to try all of these things. But like you say, they are very special. The production is very small, but that's what makes their beer great. You can't,
yeah.
I mean, that's when you become a macro producer, you know, Coors and Miller and, but they didn't start out. They were micro producers at one time. But if you want to keep control of your product and have a quality product, I mean, that's kind of what you have to do. And then people would bitch and moan. Well, if you start to increase production and you compromise quality, then you'll have a whole other group of people crying.
They'll be the first ones to start slamming you online that beer has changed.
Right.
You know?
You start getting those 60s and 70s on rape beer. I mean,
yeah, I guess they want me personally to brew a 250,000 barrels of beer a year. You know?
Yeah. We get silly stuff like that now, you know? I mean, we've had every can that's come off the line since we started making Teddy Topper. We analyze every single batch. You know, we all drink it. And it's super consistent, we think it is. And every once in a while, you'll get an email from a young beer geek who says something like, it's changed, what are you doing different, you know? Or, you know, you know, it's live, it's unfiltered, and it's going to vary from batch to batch, depending on the hop, but within a certain set of parameters, it's pretty darn consistent. But you always get that, you know. When you have a business, you have to have thick skin, and if you have a brewery, you have to have even thicker skin.
Yeah, well, and that's we do have a couple of brewer friends that are very, very sensitive. It's like, quit reading rape beer.
Yeah,
quit
don't read it.
Don't read it.
Just don't do it.
Right. You know when your stuff is selling.
Oh, no, I don't agree with that at all. I got to say, you need to read those reviews.
Well, if because you can read it and you can take it as constructive criticism, but if you read that stuff and you take, I mean, if it's going to really alter, now, if you're not doing something well, and I think you know it and you read it and you know you need to change.
If you're that sensitive, there's something wrong with you. You're in the wrong business. You should be serving your beer to your friends in your garage. You know, I mean, the reality is
you can't please all the people all the time. Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of idiots out there that fancy themselves an expert, and just because they consider themselves an expert, they think that what they say carries some weight. But the reality is they might, all their knowledge might be based on total bullshit. You know, so, but with that said, there is also uncensored opinions of your beer that these people are giving you, and whether you like it or not, these are your customers, and they're voicing their opinion. Mm-hmm. And there's always a small percentage that you can read that they might have some kind of beef that they're trying to air on the internet. But by and large, you're getting their opinion. And so, you know, I mean, sometimes people say some shitty things on there, but if you're consistently getting things that you don't like to read,
maybe you gotta
need to start looking at the quality of your beer. You're, you know, every brewer in the world thinks his beer is the greatest on earth.
Well, but except, you know, there are, I think, like you say, you guys are foodies. Like there are some chefs that make things that are definitely outside of the box. Their flavor profiles are not usual, and they appeal to a certain group of people. And I do think that there are brewers that are making things that I think are super interesting, super unusual. A lot of times they're one-offs, and I want to try that stuff. I like you know, like how you like to have your, you know, your whatever your, I can't even remember how we said it, like your cheaper beer. Like there's like certain things that are comfort food for people, but I love to get those things that are going to challenge my palate, and they're kind of weird. I enjoy drinking that stuff. That is not for everybody. It's the same like going to certain restaurants. Like we say, like not everybody's going to want to eat uni, and not everybody's going to want it, you know, not everybody can appreciate escargot or a truffle. Or, and I do think some of those brewers fall into that category, but if you're going to make something different, you know that it's unusual, then you can't worry about what other people say, because it isn't going to be liked by everybody. You're appealing to a very small sect. So,
and if there are enough people that like what you're doing and are supporting you, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. What other people say. I would add that if you sell out every time.
Well, you know that they're doing something that you guys have just, they hit that sweet spot. They're doing something that's been for the, it's light, and it's just this one product. You guys, I mean, I'm sure that John worked very hard on his recipe.
It's
but
amazing.
Yeah, honestly, it is really good. Yeah. Actually, Tyler finished both of his beers a long time ago. I'm sorry, I'm
they're
enjoying
really
mine.
Good.
They are very, very good.
Very but, tasty.
How did you guys get Hetty Topper?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I guess she flew up to your,
exactly,
your brewery.
We never divulge our sources on the air, John.
You guys just didn't realize, you didn't realize you that guys? She was that was Corey
in Atlanta
from you.
Where are you guys?
We're in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, jeez. No wonder you're talking about terrapin. Okay.
No.
I had no idea you guys were in Georgia.
We are in Georgia, but we've had, you know, we have brewers on from everywhere, but really, and I say Terrapin because it's really the first place that we actually recorded with our guest. Usually people are joining us from all over the world, so we have to talk to them the way we're talking to you, because you know, you might as well be in Europe. Oh. You're so far from us.
We're going to be in Savannah for Thanksgiving.
Are you? Well, if you guys want to hit Atlanta, we got some killer places here.
A significant drive, to be honest. But
well,
it's funny because what I was saying about favorite restaurants, one of my favorite cool restaurants is on Tybee Island.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And,
it's called the Crab Shack, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those place, I mean, it's just the coolest place, you know, and I haven't been there for 15 years, but here I am. I didn't complain about it. I'm just damn excited to go when we go down there, you know.
You haven't asked them why they haven't turned into a chain since you were there last?
Yeah, I didn't go on a chat room and tell them they suck because it was not a Crab Shack in Stowe, Vermont, you know.
But if for some reason you guys decide that you want to hit Atlanta, we would love to take you out and show you around Atlanta. There's a lot of really, really cool places. There's actually I can't say the place on air, but there's a couple of really great restaurants that really are focused on craft beer and food that pairs up with craft beer. But listen, you guys were fantastic. It was so nice to talk to you. I hope that in the future, if you are going to add anything to your repertoire, we'll get a chance to talk to you and learn more about it. Or if you ever just want to join us again, we'll get to talk to you. But thank you so much. And your Hetty Topper is fantastic. And anybody that has a problem with what you do, they can suck it. Yeah. That's always what I say. You know,
I want to add that I think it's awesome that the thing you love to do the most is what's getting the response to where mm-hmm. you can only brew like you can't keep it in your, like you're selling all of it immediately. Like that's got to feel awesome. And it's really good.
It is really good. It does.
I mean, because anytime you create something like that, you know, I mean, like I said, every brewer thinks his beer is the best. Well, most every brewer will also tell you that they brew the beer that they like to drink. So the one, right. when you actually do that and you get this kind of response and you find that you're not just brewing it for yourself, that what you find appealing, many, many other people also find appealing, it's very satisfying.
Well, it is really good. I mean, a lot of people, I guess the question I got was like, what does it taste like? Does it live up to the hype? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yes, it does. Anybody who asks that, absolutely.
It absolutely does. And, you know, if you guys are in the Boston area, go visit. Or, you know, like John said, if you've got a friend in the area, get a hookup. But, you know, try it. Before you talk shit about it, at least try it. before you give them a hard time about not being able to drink it, at least get a chance to try it. But you guys were so great. I hope we get a chance to talk to you. We're hitting you up at your brewery if we ever get a chance to get up to Waterbury. But thank you.
I got an aunt that lives in Boston that I need to go visit.
You'll be
there. Anyway,
so you'll be seeing producer Tyler. And Jen, I hope you feel better.
It's
a 3-hour drive.
Yeah, it's only 2-hour
drive. Thank you. But thanks so much. We really appreciate you having us call in. We like doing stuff like this. And now that I found out it's all the way down in Georgia, it's pretty cool. So enjoy your night warm weather down there because ours is going away rapidly.
I'm ready. Are you talking about fall? Is that what he said?
Oh, yeah.
We're already getting cold here. We're already having frost here. So you guys are still getting cooked. I'm a little bit jealous.
It's actually not quite like that. It's been really, really
strange summer.
We've had the
summer, weirdest summer. Yeah, we didn't have much of a winter, and this summer
it was raining the whole summer.
It rained the whole summer, and it's going to be like 69 degrees on Thursday.
Yeah,
it's weird. So that'll make you feel better.
All right. Well, I tried to say something nice.
No, we like it. You know, when you live in the South and you're used to it, you're kind of, see, for you guys, you want to extend the summer. For us, normally it's brutal. I love the change of seasons, but we don't get the kind of change of seasons that you guys experience. But we will. We're going to enjoy whatever we get. So thank you for that.
Right on.
You're always welcome in Vermont.
Well, thanks, guys. Have a great night.
You got it.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
Good night.
So you drank your beer really, really quickly.
I did.
It was really, really good.
They're
super nice. It's really hard. Good. I mean, they're actually really, really cool, but like we had one beer to talk about, which is kind of like you get a limit, you know, but it is really good. I mean, if you're going to do one thing, at least it should be, are you all right?
Yeah,
what you looking for?
No, okay. Never mind.
I have a whole beer left.
Yeah, I know. Don't gloat or anything.
I'm totally gloating. They're very, very cool. I would love to get up there.
They were really cool.
You know, their philosophy is like, you know, they're not looking to make $1 zillion selling beer and selling out. You know, it's like, I like that they want to be environmentally responsible. You're right? They want to do what they want to do. And it's amazing to me. People will just have a problem with that.
That's like you go on pick a musician's fan page and are talking mad shit about how they haven't done what they want them to do. Like it's their responsibility to live up to the fan. Like,
I think that's really, really, just really strange. You know, right, they're just like a couple that's living in Vermont that wants to make beer, and it's amazing, you know.
And that sells it, like all of it, every time.
Right, and it's because you know, think about how many people could just be brewing 20-mile radius. There's tons of them all over the U.S. They just happen to be doing an amazing product. Somebody got wind of it. It went national. Hell, it probably went international, and now they have to put up with all that shit. They seem like they have a good, like they're solid people. So they seem like they have a good sense of humor about it. I mean, I guess you could really let it bother you. I don't think they are.
Yeah, I can't.
I was like, he has a complaint about the Crab Shack. I haven't complained about not being able to get Crab Shacks. I thought that's really funny. And it is true. I mean, people are, you know, I don't, you know, I say this all the time. Like, I don't do fast food and chains. It's just not what the businesses I choose to support. So that doesn't bother me. It doesn't even faze me. It's kind of
I
like
just don't do it because it's not any good.
Well, like, right. I don't do honestly. I almost couldn't even say whether it was good or not because I don't go enough to know. The only time I've ever really done any of that stuff is if I'm on a road trip and there's just no choice because you know stuff.
Yeah,
can be dodged.
I'll give you that. And then every time I do it, I'm like, wow, I felt completely awful.
Right, I feel awful. Right, and it's like no matter however inexpensive it is, it tastes just as bad as it was cheap. Yeah. So whatever. I mean, we are super lucky if we ever, unless we actually get to Vermont, we're probably never gonna. But he was really, how'd you get it? I have no idea.
Yeah. No. I went there. That's how you got
it. I did.
It.
You went there. It was a trip.
That's
did you
absolutely
see?
How it happened.
Listen, we have so many brewer shows coming up. It's ridiculous. Are you?
I'm stoked.
Yeah.
I'm going to implement this rule where I only drink on Mondays from now on.
So that you can take full advantage?
Yeah, absolutely. And then because I won't be disappointed for the rest of the week when I'm like, shit.
I know. That's the one thing I did tell you, right? I think the first show you recorded, I was like, yeah, you're not going to really enjoy anything you drink after doing
this
show.
Looking at the bill every time I go anywhere to buy beer now, and I'm like, motherfucker.
It wasn't even that good. No, again, it's true. I mean, it was one thing I said to Jackie. I thought that was very sweet. He really, really liked doing the show, and I just feel like we're incredibly lucky we get to meet the coolest people. We get to drink the best handcrafted products that are out there. And, you know, I don't know. I feel pretty lucky.
Yeah. Also, woohoo, problem solved. No.
Oh, no weird
demonic
sound.
Voices. And
yeah, Jen went a little funky, but I think that was the cell phone.
Yeah,
thingy.
That was like, that could have also been like, she
just remember she's
into an echoey room.
She's practically in Canada, so it's pretty far away.
That sounded like she didn't sound non-human, which was
like Ryan.
Yeah, that was Rawr! Yeah, it was really weird for a second.
I think he was possessed. I don't think that was your thing. Just kidding. Well, listen, everybody, you can find us on Facebook, on iTunes, on Instagram, on Twitter, undermyhost.com. If you have any questions, you can email us through the website. I'm not going to give you our email address any longer. There's a contact section of the website. Just send it in through there. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Have a great night. Burn another bitch, burn another dance. Can you fucking feel it in your chest? Stay in shit box. Give this motherfucker, yo, I'm stopping on a fucking lucky old.